Good morning. It's the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, and I hope this podcast finds you all in great shape physically, and let's get ready for the podcast. Of course, mentally. Someone to watch over me. I thought that was the purpose of paying union dues, so that you had someone watching over you. But the more I stay in the craft, the more I understand that not really the truth. Who's watching over us? Us being the craft employees. Because I would bet you that if you took time out of your busy life and actually look at what it is your union is doing for you, you will have a plethora of questions. This is not a anti-union podcast. Let's make that clear. This is a wake your ass up and do something for your members podcast. I'm a firm believer that in hard times, or when times are rough, it is imperative that your upline leadership is somewhat visible. Now, maybe that's just a military trait. After 35 years in the Army and Marine Corps, I just carry with me. But I think that it is important that if we are considered essential workers for the sake of having a title, then if we are at work, it is just important for morale to see your union leadership on occasions. Now, don't get me wrong. I completely understand social distancing. I understand stay home if you don't have to. But we're at work, and if it's okay for me as an essential employee to come to work every day, then it's okay for union leadership to be visible in that place that union and postal management says it's safe for me to come. Does that make sense? And when you have leadership that does that, again, doesn't really matter about the message you bring so much, but you being visible kind of encourages the craft that they have a leader. Now, a military analogy I like to use is in times of combat, I don't really expect to see my sergeant major on the front line shooting weapons with me, but it's nice to know every once in a while he'll walk through your AO and make himself a little visible. It's a psychological move. I'm not trying to fool anyone. I'm just trying to say to union leadership, all union leadership, that if your members are in the thick of it, then it would be nice for you to bring your ass around every once in a while and say hello. Let them know that the money they pay for representation, it's not just being paid because it's the thing to do. Again, leadership, very important in today's work environment and very absent in today's work environment. I'm going to shift gears for a second, and I want to address a work issue. And this work issue is probably an issue in everyone's facility. So this is just me talking to you about how I view productivity in the Postal Service. Productivity in the Postal Service, again, it exists because they have to measure what it is that we do. But when the post office, and they're fixated on setting the bar at a certain level and expecting you to maintain that level. Now, yeah, I want to slow down just a little bit because I want to explain this in detail, because I don't want you to think that I'm asking you to work anything less than 100%. all it is that you have. I mean, when I say 100%, you come to work every day, you understand that you must be gainfully employed. So you go to work and you do your best every day. That's what the post office is built on. But we've got this new productivity era that they're trying to implement. And let's break this down to the apps for a second. We're going to talk fictitious productivity. When the apps machine was purchased, the post office bought that machine with an expectation of producing so many packages, not bundles of flats. So many packages in a specified amount of time. But part of the number of packages included far more personnel than you currently see, and it doesn't matter if we're talking apps, if we're talking SPSS, if we're talking bundle sorter. Let's stay with those three package machines. Doesn't matter. The complement that you work with right now is not the complement that the post office bought that piece of equipment with the expectations of producing a certain product. So I buy the machine, and while the company is there, I'm going to show you two dumpers, a mail handler assigned to every dumper. So I have that going on while the company is there doing what they call a burn-in. And the post office says, yes, I am satisfied with the number of personnel and the productivity that this machine produces. And then as soon as the company leaves, the first thing they do is cut the staff of personnel, the complement, but maintain the expectations of productivity. So they put themselves behind the power curve to start with and then expect the supervisor to make that happen. It can't happen. It won't happen consistently. But they don't understand that, so they come up with this productivity number. It's a number that no supervisor can give you. And I challenge you to say, the next time your supervisor attempts to tell you that you are moving too slow or moving without a sense of urgency, simply ask that supervisor, at what pace should I move? At what pace should I dump APCs into a hopper to be dumped on the belt? I'm going to tell you right now, they may scratch their heads, or as we say, they may look up for inspiration and down for dedication. But I guarantee you, I don't care how much they look around, there'll be no information because it doesn't exist. Now, I would like to say we all understand that we are postal employees and that we do have a job. So what I would say to you is every day you get up and you go into that building, you be set to give it your best. Did you hear what I said? You be set to give it your best. And listen to me, that's always going to be good enough. Now, getting back to the example that I was giving you about productivity with relation to, I used the apps as an example. If the post office wants to reduce the complement on the machine, anybody would, any sense would also say that I have to reduce the expectations on the machine. And if that were to happen, then harmony in the workplace, again, could be established. But let me tell you, as long as the Postal Service has the SDO on that front line, driving for a number that was calculated with a full complement of people, and you don't give that SDO the full complement, but you still expect them to yield the same productivity. See, now you put that SDO in a position that's behind the power curve. Now you just the Postal Service just forced short tempers. Why? Because that STO don't have time to explain what's happening to you right now, because they have to go put out the next fire. And the fire is caused by the post office expecting an unrealistic number on a day-to-day basis. So if you are a mail handler loading on the apps, bundle sorter, or the SPSS, I want to say to you that you should be asking questions of how many people should be here. Why am I responsible for loading 3 belts, 4 belts, 2 belts? Again, it doesn't hurt to ask that question and then see what response you get back. Because that machine is designed for 1 mail handler per hopper. And when you make or ask me to do 2 or 3, I'm going to give it my best, but you're not going to force me to give you discretionary efforts. You can't force that out of me. And when you do, and then I don't respond, we are creating a negative work environment, all because you're asked to do something that you're not going to do on a regular basis. And the time when that basis appears and you're not performing at whatever level the supervisor needs you to perform, because we are 5 people short and I need you to make up the difference, that creates a conflict in the work environment, and I want you to be aware of it. Again, my message to all employees would be, report for work and do the best that you can do. Again, I guarantee that's going to be more than enough. Before I shut this morning's podcast down, I want to say to all postal employees that are on their, or they are going through their 90-day probation, I want you to forget everything you just heard until after probation. This is not a podcast for you. Your focus should simply be coming to work, trying to learn your job, and just do the best that you can do while you go through your probationary period. Again, this is a grown folks podcast, and I'm just having a little fun with you. This is just a podcast specifically for those not on probation. Because the only reason I say that is I don't want to give probationary employees any information or any guidance, with the exception of make sure you come to work every day, work safely, and try to understand what it is that they're asking you to do,
and then do it the best you can.